Well, if you put your TVs on today and over the coming weeks, you can't avoid the Olympics and later the Paralympics. Are you enjoying it, Anne?
Yes, I enjoy it.
Good, good. Me too. But sadly, with no crowds in those stadiums to cheer on those competitors. Well, setting to one side whether we think it's wise and right for those games to happen at all in these COVID times, I'm sure we will marvel at the skill and dedication of those athletes over the coming weeks in their quest for gold. And so I've taken an Olympic theme for our service today, but I left my tracksuit at home, so apologies for that. And it won't surprise you to know that there are quite a number of Christian athletes taking part in the Games, the Olympics and the Paralympic Games, those who have a strong faith in God that, while not necessarily giving them an extra edge against other competitors, they'll have that extra spiritual strength and knowledge that they're doing it for the Lord. And those athletes will follow in a long line of notable Christian Olympians. And I just want to mention a little bit about a few of their stories just now. Perhaps one of the most famous, Eric Liddell, a sprinter who competed in the Paris Olympics of 1924. And he said, "I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." And it mentions a Bible verse that was given to Eric on a folded piece of paper before his race. From 1 Samuel 2, verse 30, "Those who honor me, I will honor." And Eric, if you remember, he honored God in those Olympics by refusing to run one of the heats on a Sunday, the holy day, the day of rest. And so he had to switch distances, and he took on the 400 meters, and he won a gold medal, a race held on a weekday. And he very much believed, and we believe, God honored Eric's faith and trust. And after those Olympics, he sacrificed fame and went on to become a missionary in China, just like his parents. And the film Chariots of Fire was based on his story. And I'll show a picture of another Olympian, Forrest Smithson. Took part in London 1908 Summer Games, and here we see a picture of him doing the hurdles. Oh, well, they look like wooden gates, don't they? But they're hurdles. And he's got his Bible in his hand. He ran the race with his Bible in his hand. Isn't that amazing? Why? Well, to witness as a Christian to his faith in God and God's word. A reminder to hold tightly onto the promises of God's word and run a race that counts for eternity. Jesus was their example and inspiration, and will be for a number of those Christian Olympians competing in Tokyo. Jesus finished the race, and that's our last slide for the moment, based on Hebrews 12:2, which says, "We fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. He endured the shame of the cross for the joy set before him, and now has the place of honor by the throne of God." And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we follow where Jesus has led. Jesus is our pace setter, our example, the one we follow. And God gives us the stamina and the strength to keep going. And my goodness, we've needed that, haven't we, this last year? And with all the things that are happening in our lives, the great challenges that we have, Olympian challenges, personal challenges, God gives us the strength to keep going. And I wanted to show you one final example of incredible stamina and strength that we're going to see in a short video now, which tells the true story of Olympian John Stephen Aquari. He was a marathon runner. He's still alive. He's 83 now. And he's a marathon runner from Tanzania who took part in the Mexico Olympics in 1968. He finished not with a medal, but with something far greater than gold, as we're going to see and hear.
This is the final award ceremony in track and field at the Mexico City Olympics. And to but three men go the rewards. And so for them, the long ordeal is over. But what about the others? For some, the reward is a personal one, the knowledge that they finished what they set out to do. A little over an hour after Mama Walde crosses the finish line, John Stephen Aquari of Tanzania approaches the stadium, the last man to complete the journey. A voice calls from within to go on, and so he goes on. Afterwards, it was written, "Today we have seen a young African runner who symbolizes the finest in the human spirit. A performance that gives true dignity to sport. A performance that lifts sport out of the category of grown men playing at games. A performance that gives meaning to the word courage. All honor to John Stephen Aquari of Tanzania." Perhaps the words of John Stephen Aquari epitomize all that is right in the human spirit. When asked why he did not quit, he said simply, "My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race."
It's quite a moving account, isn't it, really? My country did not send me 5,000 miles to start the race. They sent me 5,000 miles to finish the race. What amazing courage and grit and determination to persevere to the end. What a great inspiration. And I'm sure he looks back on that day with great pride. And that taught him everything he needed to know in life. Whatever he would face, even in the challenges of old age now, he learnt everything on that day about finishing well. In our weakness, God's strength is made perfect. I want to draw out three instructions for the Christian life from those words of Paul. Firstly, Paul is saying to us, have a destination in life. Have a destination in life. Paul is saying to the Christians at Corinth, lift up your heads. Lift up your heads and keep focused on the prize, the crown of glory, the lasting crown of glory. You see, competitors who took part in those first Olympics, when they won, they would receive a crown. But it would not be made of gold, it would be made of leaves. Perhaps it would be olive leaves, or laurel leaves, or leaves of the bay tree. And those crowns given would soon perish and fade and wilt. And even in today's Olympics, the medals of gold, silver, and bronze will tarnish. But Paul is saying Christians have an incorruptible crown in view, a crown of glory that will never fade or perish, something eternal. And all, he says, can obtain it, not just a few. And this is when it's a little bit different from the podium where you just have gold, silver, and bronze. No. This prize is for all who take part in the race, not just the elite few, the physically elite. Eternal glory, eternal life is the gift of God. It's not something we can earn or merit, but it is a gift of God in Christ Jesus. We have a destination in life, and that's a wonderful thing to say today. Because so many people today don't have a sense of purpose in their lives, something that urges them on. C.S. Lewis said it was those people who had a clear vision of the life to come that most drove them and inspired them in their earthly life. So they're not completely disconnected. Having that vision, that destination, makes you purposeful and living with direction in this life on earth. We fix our eyes on Jesus. He is the way. And we can trust him completely to show us the way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And he offers eternal life. Heaven is our destination in life. And we heard the sad news, didn't we, that our dear friend Jan Coe has now completed her earthly race. And she has been called into her heavenly home by her Father God, who she knew and she loved. And so we remember Jan today, giving thanks for her life and remembering Alf and all the family in our prayers. We keep going. We have that destination and we keep going, just like John Stephen Aquari. And I want to say to you, even if you feel like him, feel that you're limping along and that you find yourself among the last and the least today, don't worry. Just keep going. Put that foot in front of the other. Keep on going with God. Jesus is with you. Jesus is with you. God sent you to finish the race, not just to start it, but to finish it. So may you be given the strength to do it. So have a destination, Paul is saying. And then secondly, linked with this, hold to your disciplines in life. Hold to your disciplines. Athletes know all about self-discipline. While we sleep, they wake up while it's still dark to go training in all weathers. Like us, yes, they want a lion, but their mind, their will, has mastery. We know that medals are not just won on a summer's day in the glory of the stadium, but gold medals are won in that solitary graft of the winter training. Years and years. And we know without great effort and determination, nothing can be won. Discipline is everything. They have the pain so that they can have the gain. So they look after their bodies. They forego the richest food and drink and sleep so that they can clock the best speed or cover the greatest distance or be the most accurate in their field. What is it that they say? 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration. I'm sure it is for them. And Paul is drawing out for us lessons here. He's saying, in a similar way, live life like you want the prize. Be focused and be determined. And be prepared to make sacrifices. And for sure, Paul certainly did. Imprisoned, shipwrecked, abused, beaten, he took it all. And he declared here in these words, "Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air." Perhaps he pictures a boxer wasting his punches. He says, "No, I don't fight like a man beating the air. I discipline my body and I make it my slave." And when he says discipline, the original word means to strike under the eye, to give a black eye. So it's quite hard stuff. Paul's been quite hard on himself. And we know that throughout history, some Christians have interpreted scriptures to punish themselves and purify themselves physically. But we know the gospel doesn't advocate self-harm, but wholeness. Jesus took our punishment on the cross himself. So it's not about punishing ourselves, but disciplining ourselves. We shouldn't think that how we treat our bodies and our spiritual life are completely unconnected. That would go to the other extreme. Paul strikes the balance. Twice in 1 Corinthians, he says, "All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial." And only Jesus helps us to make the right choices. Jesus is, if you like, our personal trainer. The one who is alongside us and sometimes, yeah, gently corrects us and inspires us to be our best, to keep striving. So let's be disciplined, temperate, mastering our weaknesses. And knowing that God forgives us when we get it wrong. He's always ready to forgive. This life is a training ground for the life that's to come. We learn its lessons. We grow from our mistakes. And in our weakness, we are strong. So hold to your disciplines in life. And then thirdly and lastly, Paul is telling us here, honor your declarations in life. In other words, he's saying, walk the talk. Act on what you profess. And for Paul, discipline would keep him on the right track, that he himself would not be disqualified for the prize. And disqualification in the Olympic Games must be so heartbreaking if it's something that you've done yourself that you could have done differently. Paul saw himself as a herald of the good news. And here it's as if he likens himself to the Olympic Charter that governs the Games. But Paul knows that he can't just tell others what to do or how to behave. He's got to do it himself. He's not only a herald, but also a participant himself. He had to follow the rules himself because he knew that he was under God, the greater judge. So he sought to honor his declarations, lest he be disqualified at the last and lose his reward, he says. Or as the King James Version puts it, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And that's a serious warning for any preacher or evangelist who may point others to the prize, but somehow miss it themselves. So Paul didn't take the prize for granted, and no athlete, no Christian ever should. The prize can be all too elusive. I think of some of those sporting near misses. I'm not going to mention the Euros, well, I just did, but let's think back a little bit further to other near misses, like the golfer Greg Norman. He never won a major US title. Jimmy White never won the World Snooker Championship. Brazil had the greatest team going into the 1982 World Cup, but they didn't win it. So Paul took nothing for granted, knowing that anyone can fall at the last hurdle. So to prevent this, he ran, he contended, he mastered his impulses. He let the Holy Spirit govern his life. He practiced what he preached. And it's a challenge for us, isn't it? As we think about our lives going forward into this new week. Do our lives mirror what we declare? Another way of putting it is, it's not enough simply to wear the tracksuit and the running shoes on a Sunday. We've got to do it Monday to Saturday as well, in the world where we live, in our family life. We can never leave the race. We participate every day from the starting gun to the final lap. We know it's important to start right, but it's imperative to finish well. And that's what Paul is saying here. That the Christian life isn't a sprint, it's a marathon or a steeplechase with hurdles. And it's not about coming first. The Greeks had a race in their Olympic Games that was unique. And the winner was not the one who finished first, but the winner was the runner who finished the long race with their torch, their flame still lit, that sheltered it and protected it throughout the extreme weather. And that's a wonderful picture of the Christian life, for you and me to say, Lord, I want to finish the race with my torch still lit. And there's so much in this world that would blow on that flame and would threaten it or dampen it. But by God's Spirit, time and again, through prayer and Bible study and fellowship and worshipping with God's people, that flame is protected and kindled and burns strong. It's our prayer today. Lord, keep my flame burning bright to the end, until I exchange that flame and my cross for that crown of glory. and we have one another to share the load, to encourage one another along the way, and how we need that at this time in our church's life when so many are going through so many trials. Together with Paul, we encourage one another. We cheer others on with words of encouragement and prayer. So I pray, with Paul, we shall fight the good fight. We will finish the race. We will keep the faith. So as we go into this new week, have a destination. Hold to your disciplines and honor your declarations, and go straight for that finishing line. Amen.